McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes.
Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sidibe scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Welcome to Falkirk Daft and Merry Christmas, one and all. Hope you all had a great Christmas, Bairns. This is your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with the mighty Bairns of Falkirk. I am your host, John McInally. I have no idea what day it is today, but I'm sure the guy I'm standing in front of will know that. It's the ginger god of pod himself, Mr. Ross Wayne. Can you confirm what day it is?
I can tell you the date. I know it's definitely the 27th, but otherwise, I don't know whether it's Pancake Tuesday or Sheffield Wednesday today.
It's one of those ones. All I know is it's in between Queen of the South at home and Dunfermline away. So we're somewhere in that kind of labyrinth that you get lost in during the Christmas holidays. How was your Christmas, Ross?
Not too bad, pal. Not too bad. A little bit of sickness in the Wayne household, so not ideal, but we're heading the right direction out of it, which is good. What about the McInally household?
It was all right. We had my wee girl had nits, so that was just a constant fear of it transmitting across the family. It's like, do not hug her. Do not make contact with her. Do not wear any Santa hats that she's been wearing. So that's been on our minds here. But it's doing it. We sound like a pair of women. I tell you what, flu, it's doing the rounds, son. It's doing the rounds, I tell you what. But it's just doing that. So did you get any Falkirk related Christmas presents, Ross?
Yes, I did. I've got a really nice, I've not got it up yet, but I'll be going up in the office. I've got a framed black and white picture of the new stadium. I've never seen it before, actually. It's one of these ones that's got like the coordinates on it and stuff like that. So I'll get that up in the office for the next podcast. I'm sure I'll find the space behind me, I think. What about yourself?
I would say a big thank you. The only Falkirk-related Christmas present I got was from Ross Wayne, which is a frosted Falkirk Daft mug, which I'm sitting here, only five of them made. So I'm sitting enjoying my beer out of that sound. So thank you, Ross.
Likewise, buddy. Like, cheers. Merry
cheers.
Christmas,
And hopefully you've got lots of Falkirk Daft merchandise. If you did get a Falkirk Daft t-shirt or a bit of our merch, please pop it up. And we'll have January sales coming very soon on the merch stalls. So shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/Falkirk-Daft. Get all the links below. If you've got a bit of Christmas money to spend and fancy getting some Falkirk Daft gear, you'll be able to get that. And we'll have discounts coming to our shop very, very soon for the January sales. Got to say thank you very much. Got a sponsor this week, Ross. Thanks to Gillian and the team over at Drummond Laurie. They're an independent firm of experienced accountants and business advisors who have an excellent track record in working with clients to develop business growth through strong advisory planning and outsourced finance services. And they've got offices in Grangemouth, obviously, but they work right across the UK and are proud to be regarded as trusted partners and have developed long-standing relationships with their clients. Clients vary in size, but their service remains consistent. The values, culture, they're an employer of choice, and they've got brilliant client relationships of their own, as well as delivering customer service that go above and beyond, being reliable, friendly, and approachable. They're extremely passionate about giving back to the local community as well, and are proud to be charity partners of Strathcairn Hospice, which is all something that's always close to our heart here in Falkirk Daft and throughout Falkirk. So Drummond Laurie supporting Strathcairn Hospice, as well as that they support charities and local community stuff right across the community. They're supporting basically this month, for example, supported the Nurture Room at Denny Primary School, as well as another charity which provides mental health mentoring and counselling for young people called Rookie Rockstars. I think you've seen that. I think that's on Graham's Road, actually. They basically do so much in the community, Drummond Laurie, as well as being brilliant accountants and business advisors. So if you are looking for an accountant in the Falkirk area, Drummond Laurie, get yourself involved there. They've got so much going on. They really put into the local community. So if you are looking at accounting, it's good to support one of our own. And why not support Drummond Laurie? And you can get all the details that you want. It's drummondlaurie.co.uk. Drummond, and it's Laurie, Laurie.co.uk. Tell Gillian and the team that we sent you their way. But if you are looking for an account, especially it's come up to it's tax time, when people are filing taxes, or you're maybe just looking to change your account in the new year, why not hit up Drummond the Laurie? Big supporters of the club and supporting this podcast today. So thank you so much to Gillian and the team over at Drummond Laurie, and it's drummondlaurie.co.uk. That's where you want to go to get your accounting services sorted. So thanks very much for those guys. Let's a couple of bits and bobs to deal with Ross as well. You may have seen on social media and on our social media, Russell Latapy is coming to town. Not Santa Claus. Russell is coming to town and on June the 22nd at the Dobby Hall. And we're delighted that Falkirk Daft are going to be involved with it, Ross.
We are. Yeah, very much so. Really exciting. I would say that's more exciting than Santa. I would say so. It doesn't happen too often with Mr. Latapy either. He's obviously back in the UK for a period of time in the summer. I'm sure he'll pop up at maybe some Hibs events. Probably not Dundee United or Rangers, but I'm sure he's a Hibs event. And obviously, as you've just said, huge, going to be a brilliant, huge night in Larbert. From what we hear already, the tickets are selling really, really fast. A large percentage of the tickets available have already been taken up. Probably people buying them for Christmas presents and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's a great Christmas present to get.
However, there is a rumour, John, and it's not a January transfer rumour. There's a rumour that we may have a wee competition or something.
Well, it's funny you should say that. ELT Events, who are putting on, reached out to us to basically help them with the event. And, you know, when a legend like this comes to Falkirk, you know, I mean, obviously, he's doing stuff with Hibs as well, because he's a legend, but, you know, as well as being a Falkirk legend, he's a Hibs legend as well. So he's coming back over from Australia to do a couple of events, and we're delighted to be involved with the Falkirk side of that. It's happened June the 22nd at the Dobby Hall. You can get tickets from £25. So we're hopefully going to be doing a bit, maybe doing a wee bit of hosting. You never know, you might see our ugly mugs on the stage there as well. But yeah, they've been kind enough. ELT Events have reached out to us, and basically we've got VIP tickets to give away on next week's show. They're worth about £45 a pop. So
breaking news, that has been updated, buddy.
Has it?
Yes, the VIP Hall of Fame package are worth £125.
Oh, are we getting the Hall of Fame package? That is ideal.
We've got two of those to give away. Two of those to give away, which is early entry to the venue, access to the VIP room with a wee complimentary drink, a hot fork buffet with Mr. Russell Latapy, so you're going to have some scran with him. A meet and greet, obviously, with Russell. You'll get a professional photo with it. You'll get a print signed and personalised by Russell too. And if that wasn't enough for the money, or a freebie at that, a Falkirk 2006 retro shirt signed and personalised by wee Russell on the night as well.
What a prize. You've got two of those to give away on next week's show. You can buy that yourself if you want the Hall of Fame package. Get all the details. We'll put it on the links below. If you want to come to the Latapy night in Falkirk at Dobby Hall. Nice. Dobby Hall is actually a really good venue. I know there was a bit of a hassle over the Simon Stainrod one. But yeah, he's doing it at the Dobby Hall just because I think it's right next to the train station pretty much as well. And you can go for a pint in one of Falkirk's finest pubs, the station, as well, prior to the event as well. So it should be a good night. That's happening in June, so looking forward to that. But like as Ross said, June 22nd, Dobby Hall. And if you want the link, we'll put it on in the description today. So get involved with that. However, we have got prizes to give away on this week's show, and it is the monthly Falkirk Supporters Society draw, and I have got a random number generator, and Ross has details on all the prizes. So if you're a member of the Falkirk Supporters Society, stand by as we are about to do the draw.
So yeah, John, absolutely. So we've now got the updated member list sent over from the Falkirk Supporters Society. So there's 612 current members, which is great. And as you say, we've got some prizes to give away now. We've actually got six prizes to give away. pretty huge. It's pretty huge. And I'll run through the prizes, if I may. So we've got the very, very, very last Kevin McAllister stand bobble. If you remember back a couple of years when the Crunchy Initiative launched, they had a couple of hundred Christmas baubles for sale. This is the very, very last bobble.
Mine's broke as well. I should have, my brother obviously was involved in the Crunchy Society, put this together, and mine's actually broke. I was raging. So this is limited edition stuff. It's this
very limited edition. So that's the last one of those. We've also got a wine library voucher, gift voucher, which will come in handy in the new year, I'm sure. So that's wine library in Falkirk. Again, in Falkirk, we've got a behind the wall voucher, which is great. As well as a behind the wall voucher, John, we've also got a step in the KM stand. So the Kevin McAllister stand, you can buy steps now and sponsor a step. And we've been given one for this month's Supporter Society as well. And as well as that, we've got our bucket of beer in the Brockville Bar, as always, donated by ourselves. And last but not least, we've got the Boardroom Hospitality for two, donated by the board at Falkirk Football Club.
Fantastic. So great prizes. So let's kick off with the list. I will share my screen. So for the video viewers, you can see that this is not a fix. So let's share the screen here so you can see the random number generator popping up here. This week it has not got the Ukrainian girls way. I found a new number generator that doesn't have pop-up ads for Ukrainian girls. So that's good news. So you can see you've got 601 to 612. Let's generate the first number. And what is the first prize, Ross?
First prize, John, is the very, very last Kevin McAllister bubble.
And let's see who's getting that. It is number six.
Number six, let's have a look. So, member number six is Simon Forsyth. Well done, Simon.
Simon Forsyth, there you go, one of the early adopters to the Falkirk Supporter Society. Right, next number coming out, and this is for?
This is for the Wine Library gift voucher, John.
Here we go, I wouldn't mind this one. 365.
365. We have a James Morrison. James Morrison wins that one. Well done, James.
Not presumably you can play on broken string. Not that one, no.
Thought so, but you never know.
You never know. Hi, James. Well done on that. You'll see it at the wine library soon. Next prize is?
We have a behind the wall gift voucher this time, John.
And it is number 83 that wins that.
Number 83 is... we have Stuart Brown. Well done, Stuart.
Aye.
I think that might be the Stuart Brown that's actually in the Supporter Society committee. But I think it might be
Stuart. Well done. Congratulations.
Might be. Well done, Stuart. So that was for the behind the wall voucher, wasn't it?
Yep, that's for behind the wall voucher. So next thing is stand to the name and stand.
Step, the sponsored step in the Kevin McAllister stand, indeed.
Right, here we go. And popping out, it's 210.
210, we have Gillian Starr.
Gillian, where you go. There you're going to get your name on in the South Stand on one of the steps. Fantastic prize. Next prize.
We have the bucket of beer in the Brockville Bar, courtesy of our good selves.
Best prize there. Best prize there. So who is getting that? It is 376.
376. We have Leslie Adam. Well done, Leslie.
There you go, Leslie. Bucket of beer, courtesy of Falkirk Daft, for your pleasure in the South Stand Bar. And finally, this is the big one. It's the hospitality in the boardroom, Ross. Yep.
Yep.
Let's see who's getting that. It is number 213.
213 is a Mr. Brian Patterson. Well done, Brian.
There you go, Brian. So well done to you as well. Lovely boardroom hospitality at a game for you coming up. So there you go, that is the Falkirk Supporters Society draw for this month. If you want to get involved, sign up please to the Falkirk Supporters Society. This whole model we're trying to build the club around doesn't work without the Falkirk Supporters Society and your support. So I know times are tough and all that, but if you can put that £10 a month or more, get involved in the Falkirk Supporters Society, and you can be involved in this draw next month because it obviously has benefits as well. You can win great prizes that we've just given away there. So please get involved with the Falkirk Supporters Society. Again, we'll stick all the details for Falkirk Supporters Societies in the description this week if you want to get involved. Right then, that being said, let's move on to some news from the club. Now, it's getting to that time of the year. It's the January transfer window coming up, and the kind of first move out of the club has been made. Jamie Wilson has departed the club following a mutual agreement. I think it's always been on the cards, Jamie going. I think there'll maybe be another couple of names maybe going out the club, but Jamie's certainly the first one. Listen, no slight with Jamie Wilson. I just don't think he always seemed like a good fella, you know, put in effort when he came off the bench, but just hasn't worked out for him.
Just not good enough, John. And it's, nice guy by all accounts. Never met him personally, but those that have at dinners and events and stuff have nothing bad to say about the guy. So, but in terms of the football, it's just not worked out. And as you said, there's another three or four that probably could and hopefully will follow him out the outdoor. I don't know where he'll end up next. Obviously, good luck to the guy. There's a few others, as we've talked about before, that may be on the way out too. So you've obviously got Seb Ross, who doesn't get much game time.
Yeah.
The boy Sneddon's already away on loan. Hetherington could be another one if he's fit.
Rumours going about, Ross, rumours going about that Hetherington might be on his way out. Wasn't involved in the Queen of the South game. Rumours about Albion Rovers floating about.
Oh, I've not heard that one. I heard Arbroath was...
Arbroath.
Yeah, so which would be a massive step up for him, obviously based on what we've seen so far. Mm-hmm. However, if it's true, then it's a win-win because obviously it gets him out playing football. And for us, it takes another person off the wage bill that John can then maybe use to get somebody else in who he actually wants to play.
Yeah.
So, which would be amazing if that was the case. And hopefully, the rumour obviously was there before the game against Queen of the South. So, I don't know whether he would have left him out for that reason. Maybe he was injured. But if that is, it maybe stacks up.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's fine. But another name that we're hearing bandied about on the rumour mill who might be at Benny Teeson is Regan Tumulty. Obviously, former... Was it Raith Rovers, Regan, was that?
Yeah, so obviously ex-Bairn back in the day with Paul Hartley, and then he's made his way. John McGlynn knows him really well from Raith times.
At the club the first time round as well.
Okay. I thought he was all right, actually. Yeah. He had that spell at Morton obviously that was the spell where Morton were... still a bit raging over the whole Ray McKinnon thing, and I think Tumulty maybe got caught up a wee bit in that because he used to give the fans a bit of chat back at the time. But in terms of when he was in a Falkirk jersey, no issues with him, to be honest. So he would be a welcome addition at right back if we're being honest.
Well, exactly.
Got well documented right back problems.
It's the one thing what Santa to bring for us was a right back.
So if that deal's done on the first minute of the 1st of January, I would be absolutely delighted.
You heard anything else, Ross?
No, I've not, John. It's been really quiet. However, I'm very, very hopeful that John's working his magic in the background. Him and Paul, I think, probably have been doing their homework. I'd be shocked if they weren't. And I know there's Alan Fraser, who's the scout. He's from by all accounts, he's been here, there and everywhere, up and down the country, looking at players and stuff. And January is a tough window, so there may be more planning for the summer. But I do think we will make moves early doors. I hope so, anyway.
Well, let's hope so. We all know what we need is a right back. That's the top player. And maybe a battling central midfielder, though we'll get into that a wee bit later on when we come at the Queen of South game. We may have found them. We'll see. We'll keep you up to date on Falkirk Daft with any rumours that we hear over the next month or so. Ross is the man with his ear to the ground. So he'll keep you abreast of anything that he hears over the next month or so. A bit of news, Junior Bairns coaching with the first team is taking place on Wednesday, the 28th of December, which if you're hearing this episode is probably going out on Tuesday because we know it's now Tuesday and this will be Wednesday. This is happening at the club. You can register at the Ken McAllister stand 1:15. You can email sarah.scott13@virginmedia.com, sarah.scott13@virginmedia.com. Sarah, obviously, deeply involved with Junior Bairns, has been for several years. So if you want to get involved with the first team, that's going to happen on Wednesday. So that should be good if you can get down and get involved with that. Aside from that, rather quiet. Obviously, we're just going to keep an eye on the transfer window, I guess.
I think so, mate. That's probably going to be the next bit of news. Obviously, we've got the Dunfermline game on the 2nd, so it would be nice if we had an addition before then, or two, if we're being greedy. But it would be great, because obviously the Dunfermline game is now... I'm kind of in your camp just now, John, if I'm being honest. I do think it's win or bust for, in terms of winning the league. I don't mean so much for going up, but in terms of winning the league, I do think it's win or bust, because a Dunfermline win would put them 10 clear. We're not going to lose that many games, and we're probably not going to win all of ours. So, whereas if we beat them, it brings it a bit tighter. And then if we're making moves in January to sort of strengthen the starting 11, then you never know.
We'll preview the Dunfermline game in just a bit. But first of all, let's look back at the Queen of the South game on Friday night. And we usually do that in the company of a fellow Bairn. This guy, one of our competition to win a fantastic Falkirk Daft frosted mug. And he gets to come on this show. So please welcome to Falkirk Daft, it's Craig Cruikshanks. Craig, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
Very good. Did you have a good Christmas? We were talking about Bairn's presents. Did you get any Bairn's presents yourself?
I did. I got a framed poster, if you like, by a local artist, Gio Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
The Grateful Eight, so it's got players like Crunchy, Latipe, Yogi, Alex Totten on it. So it's really quite smart. Not up on the wall yet, but it's really smart.
Nice. And you obviously won. The best present you got is a Falkirk Daft frosted mug as well, of course, Craig, because you won our competition. How long have you been supporting the Bairns, Craig?
I'd say maybe 15 years or so. When I grew up, I didn't really like football when I was at primary school. All my mates were either Rangers or Celtic. My dad and my grandpa were the only two Falkirk supporters that I knew at the time. And they had stopped going to the games just due to work commitments, etc. We were in Morrison's and my dad seen a competition to win two tickets to a home game, which we entered, and luckily we won. And since then, we've never looked back.
Ah, brilliant. That's a lovely story, actually. Who's been the player for you, Craig, that's been your favourite player across the years? Because you're a bit younger, so again, we've had a few. Like, you know, for me and Ross, we always talk about Latipe, talk about McAllister. For you, who is it?
Well, I never seen Crunchy or Stainrod play, so it would have been Latipe towards the end of his career.
Yeah.
I remember that opening game at Motherwell against Gretna, and he just tore them to shreds. I don't know what age he would have been back then, but clearly pushing late 30s, maybe early 40s, and unbelievable they couldn't get near him.
Craig, I think you're right. I think he would have been 30s, maybe 35, 36 at the time.
Was that the World Cup here that season? I think it maybe was, wasn't it? I remember when we played against Gretna at Motherwell, and you were just outstanding that day.
That was the day we had Tim Crewe in goals as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it would have been.
Craig, see, before you say any more, I actually remember, I don't know if you remember this, I remember it must have been about 10, 11 years ago. At the time, I was helping the club out with some, you know how they had like a volunteer group who were helping. This is when they were like, we talk about them struggling now, but they were properly struggling then with absolutely zero cash. And they had like a volunteer committee, management committee in place. And we did loads of stuff for retail. And one of the things was, on the club's eBay shop, you could win a place in the team photo. Now that was yourself, wasn't it?
Yeah. My dad done that. I didn't know about it until he'd done it, and then he's like, "You're going to be in the team photo," and I was like, "What?" And I remember going in that day, and I think it was Elvis at the time. I think he was the manager. Yeah. And he wanted me in a pair of football boots, but I never brought any. So I was going down the change room, and I had bigger feet than most of the players there. So I had to squeeze into a pair of Blair Alston's boots, but they were like two sizes too small. So yeah, that was a bit surreal. And then I remember there was a chat like, "Who's that? Who's that? Is that a new signing?" and stuff like that.
That's brilliant. So,
you're right. It was surreal though, because I was there that day, and the photographer was a guy called Gordon White. Beg your pardon. I don't know if you know Gordon. He was the club's photographer at the time, and I always remember. He had took the shot with you in it, And then he shouted over to Elvis. I don't know if you remember this. He's like, "Shall we get one just the team now?" And then Elvis went, "No, he's staying in the photo." So there was never another photo of the squad without you in it.
That's so amazing. I didn't know that's the reason. That's
yeah, brilliant. If you go on, I think it's Better Meddle with the Devil, and it's got the photo, and then it comes to me on the on whatever line that I'm in, and it's got just unknown rather than a name.
So everyone knows that Craig is in that photo now. What season was that then, Ross?
It would have been 20, I think it was 2011, 2012, John.
There you go, 2011, 2012. There's Craig in the photo. What an amazing, amazing story to tell, because that who else could say there'd been a Falkirk team photo and they're still on it to this day? That's amazing.
Indeed.
Brilliant, brilliant. Right, let's get into the game then. We'll wait and talk about the match against Queen's South. I hold my hands up. I missed it. It was my Christmas day out and I went to Mogwai that night. It was the loudest gig I have ever been to and I was absolutely steaming by 6 o'clock. I was doing horseshoe in the karaoke. Karaoke in the horseshoe even.
Still drunk.
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. That's 10 is going in my head. 6 o'clock at night. So I missed the game, but was getting constant updates from Ross, and just kept checking Twitter for the updates. Obviously, 5-2 worthy winners in the end. And we had changes. Obviously, Cole Donaldson was suspended, so we had Brad McKay moving at centre half, Yeats coming in at right back. Oliver came in for Hetherington and Alegria was in for Burrow and Morrison was in for McGuffey. Changes from Dundee. PJ Morrison starting again. Changes, first of all, is that you surprised at anyone coming in, really?
I don't know. Oliver is just not working out for me in midfield. I think I've been fairly consistent with that. And but then Hetherington's didn't play well in the midfield slot either. So, and with Lawal injured, he forced his hand to play Oliver there again. But the rest of the changes, nah. I thought Allegri was well-deserved starting place. Morrison back in. Obviously, Donaldson was suspended, as you said. I'd rather have Yeats at right back until we sign a right back over Brad for me. And obviously Hogarth, I assume he's gone back to Forest, which is a shame. But if it's costing too much money or whatever the deal may be. And
I didn't think that we'd be, I mean, like you say, Ross, it seems that, you know, PJ started the last two games ahead of Nicky, which kind of, you think, well, if he's doing if it was in the cup, you can understand it. But now he's started that league, you think, well, maybe that means Nicky is going back to Nottingham Forest, which surprised me because I thought we might have had a deal where they were basically still paying his wages and we weren't contributing to that. Because, for a Premiership side, it's absolute buttons. You think maybe they just want to get him out and get him some experience. But, yeah, it'll be disappointing if Nicky was to go back because we'll get into PJ Morrison's performance. But, it kind of spells it, doesn't it, that Nicky might be on his way back to Forest if PJ's starting in the league.
Certainly looks like that. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, I get the feeling that it's maybe not down to wages, like you were saying with Forrest. I think it could be that they maybe want him to play at a higher level.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I think they know that he'll probably play for us if he was to stay. So I can't really see anything other because he's going to develop staying at us. So unless he's going to maybe a Championship club or even a team down south, I don't know.
Maybe that's the case, yeah. Yeah, certainly I don't think we've talked about it before, Ross, and Nicky hasn't really done anything, you know, too bad. I don't think he's been at fault for many goals we've conceded.
No, I wouldn't say so. Certainly of the keepers that we've seen so far this year and playing for Falkirk and across the division, actually, I think he's probably the strongest, and he should be. I would definitely have kept him if it was at all possible for the second half, and probably put Paddy Martin out on loan now that PJ's back fit. But it doesn't look like that's going to be the case, so I can understand them wanting to give PJ minutes rather than playing Hogarth right up till the end of the month and then throwing PJ in against Dunfermline. So
yeah, Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. We're wearing our waist shirt that was to just for shelter. It was an initiative led by Shelter for everyone to wear their away shirt. And you know, we've had indifferent games in the away shirt, I guess you could say, this season. So you know, and it was red and white because you know Santa Claus and all that sort of stuff, which Stuart alluded to in the commentary as well. So overall impressions of the game, gents. I obviously missed it, Craig. What did you make of the game?
First, I don't know when they equalised, but the first 10, 15 minutes, it was like, felt like a training game after we got the goal. They didn't really come into our half too much. But then after they scored that free kick, it was complete role reverse. They were in control for 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it was. It totally disrupted us. The confidence just zapped. We couldn't pass. We couldn't do anything, really. They obviously get a quick fire second, and it was just pandemonium for that kind of period until we got that equaliser. Probably the best time. That's probably the biggest goal of the match, that second one for us right before half time. Because I think if you're going at half time, it's different. They've got something to hold on to, and we need to go and chase the game. So I think that was really important, getting that goal right before half time.
Yeah, a very important time to score, as any manager I'll tell you, especially, you know, Ross, when you look at that. I mean, we get our noses in front. Really good striker's instinct from Allegri to capitalise on the Queen of the South centre-half's mistake to get nip in and get that goal. But you look at the two goals that Queen score, that free kick's unstoppable, isn't it? I don't think anyone's getting to that, or would you question the goalkeeper at that?
Not from the angle I saw that, which was obviously we moved because of the rain firing into the main stand, so we were sitting sort of back left up beside the Queen of the South fans. But so from our angle, it just looked like an absolute belter of a free kick from behind the goals. Maybe, I don't know, Craig, do you sit behind the goals?
Definitely looked at the time. It looked like it was right at him. It looked like it wasn't really in the corner. It looked like it was in the middle of the goal, but it did. Right away, when it's in the air, it looks like it's going over the bar, right. And then it just dips all of a sudden. But then when I've watched it back, I don't think he did have a chance. It was a much better free kick than what I first thought, because he did get a lot of stick in the stand after that free kick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about the second then, Craig? I've seen a few complaints about the second goal from a Morrison perspective.
Again, I felt he could have got down quicker, but watching the highlights back, it's a very good strike. It's right in the bottom corner. It felt sitting behind the goals that he went down in stages. But I think it is a much better strike than what I first thought.
Yeah. From one Morrison to another, it looked like Callum was having a bit of a steak day and got the equaliser, like you say, just before half time. Good goal from Cal.
Good move, good finish. So, and I liked when he scored, you know what Cal's like, he loves a celebration stuff, but none of that. Just get the ball back on the centre half and let's crack on. So, and I actually think we then brought that attitude back out in the second half. So very much a steak day, John, as you say.
Yeah. I mean, it could have went, before that though, let's look at it, it could have went 3-1. I mean, like Craig was saying, after that sort of second goal went in for Queens, Rudy Payton had another good chance. I tell you what, Rudy Payton's a guy you would love to have at Falkirk. I mean, I've heard rumours that it's a player, I'm guessing, not only Falkirk are maybe looking at, but clubs right across the Championship. You know, and potentially League One. I mean, maybe Dunfermline are looking at him as well. But he certainly is a player that could do a job for Falkirk, and he was really impressive again.
I agree. I think he'd be a great signing, John. But as you say, the trouble is there's probably a good few teams after him. But has he got a bit of beef with Falkirk? I noticed him giving the Bairns fans a bit of stick behind the goals. I don't know. I don't remember him having any beef with us before, but he certainly enjoyed the celebrations that he scored. But if he does sing, well, we'll not hold that against him. He's a decent player. He's a decent player.
I know. He's got caught. I don't know what his contract situation is. Queens are expected to the end of the season, so he's going to cost money for any club, and that's the problem. I don't think we'll have any money to sign a player like that in January. which is a shame. But you think he's probably a level above us anyway, looking at how he's done for Queens this year.
Oh yeah, his movement's unbelievable. The how he reads the interception from Morrison for the equaliser to get the free kick, like really good movement. And he's also playing in one of the worst teams I think in the league. And he's, I don't know how many goals he's got, but I know he's a top goal scorer. To score that many goals in that team, he's a good player. Him and Wilson, I thought Wilson was the other boy. He was good.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, you go in at half-time, two apiece. Not a great first half from Falkirk, guys, then, was it?
Mixed bag, 50-50, yeah. I would say it's 50-50.
So we come out that second half then, and it took a wee while for us to get going at 2-2. A couple of chances, Allegri are missing from very close out. How did that look from the south stand, Craig?
It happened so quickly. It looked like he was going to tap it in, but I think there was a bobble right in front of him.
Right.
So when it's bobbled, he's flew in to try and tap it in, and the ball's already rising. That's the only thing I can think. He should still score.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only thing I can think of. But it did kind of bobble slightly just in front of him when he's hit it. He claims it hit off the defender. I don't know if it did. It was
a big claim for it, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to say that, Craig, because we at the time, we thought it was a really bad miss as well. And then we spoke to a couple of people after the game who were a bit closer, and they said it did take a nick off the defender. So yeah, you just hoped it wasn't going to come back and bite us on the backside, because it looked like a brilliant chance, and obviously it didn't, thankfully. We need the strikers in that position to be putting the ball away.
Yeah,
absolutely. Obviously, he changes it up then. We have Burrow and Liam Henderson coming on. Big chat about Liam Henderson coming on and the job he did when he went into midfield. What did you guys make of it?
I think probably McGlynn's best sub of the season, because I think it totally changed the game in our favour. It gave him again that protection. And I felt Ian Wilson was having that effect for Queens. But as soon as Henderson came on, and I've been one of his biggest critics this season, but I thought he was superb. In centre midfield, the strength, the size, the power of him was much better than maybe an Oliver or Nesbitt, for example.
I agree. Absolutely outstanding performance and sub at the time from John, because it was badly needed. Oliver wasn't having a great game in the middle of the park again, and it did make a massive difference. And I actually think it let McGinn kind of do what McGinn was doing a bit earlier in the season, Craig.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it freed him up a little bit, because I think in the midfield that we play, McGinn's exposed, quite lightweight in Nisbet, Oliver, McGuffey, whoever it may be. We've not really got that strength in front of him. So yeah, I think it did, it allowed him, you're right, Ross, it allowed him to go back to doing what he does best.
Surprised Allegri was subbed off. Obviously, he got his assist from Morrison and got his goal himself. Were you surprised that he got taken off?
I personally was, because up until then, he was probably my man of the match. I felt he'd done really well to anticipate the defender missing the ball for the first goal. He had the great vision to lay off Morrison for the second goal. He was getting in good positions. He was bullying the defence. I would like to have seen maybe Burrow play alongside him when we're chasing the win. Obviously, yeah. In the end, it worked out really well. But at the time, I couldn't really get my head around it. And you could see Allegri, he wasn't too happy either when he noticed it was his number.
He didn't look happy at all when he went off. But it's like, do you know what? See, if a player's playing well, he'd scored already. I can understand him not being too happy, but it did work out. But at the time, you're right. See, if you were thinking, oh, let's push them on, the two of them together, and see if we can cause a bit of damage. But Burrow came on and did really well.
Yeah, got his goal. And again, it was a great example, like Allegri is in the first half. It was just another good striker's goal. You know, just getting in that front post and getting it in the finish on it. So it's good to see, obviously, looking at the scorers, you know, that's both strikers scoring in the same game. And both are kind of, you know, very even Stevens in terms of the goals they're getting this season. It's hard. I mean, we've talked about it so many times in the Falkirk Daft, Ross, about there's different strikers for different games almost. You would love to see the two of them together, though. I know it's not McGuinn's way, but you think those two together could really, because they're very different in the way they play the game. You know, obviously, Allegri has more back to go, hold up play, big, strong, got a ton of pace as well, though. Burrow prefers to get in behind, you know, good striker instinct as well. You'd love to see the two of them play together, you know?
I would, and I would like to see the pair of them up front together at East End Park, to be honest. But it's as we say, it's unlikely. I don't know which way he'll go. I don't know whether he'll want Allegri there for his hold-up play and bringing others in, or like we had a lot of success in the game last time at East End Park, balls over the top through slide drill pass, you know. So there's definite pros and cons there for both.
Yeah. Liam Henderson, we talked about coming off the bench, allowing McGinn a bit more space, got his goal, nice, terrible from a defensive point of view from Queens, but nice easy goal for Liam, and good to see him getting that. Do you think he's the answer then going forward to this midfield conundrum that we have?
Possibly. I would say at least try it, because like I said earlier, I think he struggled at times at centre-half.
Yeah.
I think the games against Kelty, Aggieman, Higginbotham, they've bullied him. Even the guy at Clyde that day, I think it's Jordan Allen, gave him the runaround as well. So at least try him there. Maybe keep Mackie next to Donaldson, or try Watson if he's coming back in January, see how his fitness is like, and let Henderson play that midfield role.
Do you think he's got a chance of starting there at East End, Ross?
I think he does. After that, I think he definitely does. And all I was just going to say there, John, is let's not forget he played that role really, really well for our both all season in the Championship. So he knows the role well. He probably didn't have someone as good as McGinn beside him. So I think this could be a good move for us. And as you say, if we're playing Mackie alongside Donaldson will be back from his suspension at East End Park, which will be good. Obviously, right back, you're assuming it will be Yates. But then, unless we sign someone, because obviously we talked about the whole Reagan tumulty rumour that's doing the rounds, but will he go back to Brad Mackay for right back against Dunfermline? Because we know historically he likes a tall defender as well against that team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he winds up against Dunfermline. And then, so 4-2, easy street from there on in, and Cal Morrison right at the end. Great run, great finish from Cal. Like you say, he seemed to be absolutely on form, Cal, against Queens. And again, I guess from the south stand, it was great to watch, Craig.
Yeah, that last goal. I think it was Hendry, the left back he was up against, and he just sent him for a pie. Like, he was going one way, then the other, and then he went the other, and Hendry just, I think, gave up in the end, and he slotted it away really well.
It was
the
right boot finish as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, just slid it in past the keeper. So great, good to see Calum again, two goals, and hopefully, you know, with that behind, you know, two goals just in terms of form going into the game against Dunfermline, when he can bring that to that game as well, which he did the last time as well, in fairness as well. Right, let's look at what the supporters are saying. In fact, we'll hear from John McGinn first, will we?
John, the perfect way to start the Christmas celebrations tonight.
Absolutely, yeah, we're delighted, buzzing after that, you know, five goals, maybe it could be one or two more, because of a very, very, you know, attacking game. We attacked, you know, for the whole 90 minutes, and I thought we played really well for the opening 20 minutes. I thought we were excellent, and got a good goal, delighted for Juan, you know, started tonight, got his goal, was a handful, but there was other opportunities. We got so many crosses in the box, we had, you know, about four or five corner kicks in the opening 20 minutes. And then, you know, we have a daft couple of minutes where we lose two goals, and it's unbelievable. We were so far ahead in the game. We lose the ball deep in our own half. We get a free kick, which was a free kick, and not enough what you can do about it. You know, the boys are cracking free kicks. So we keep on giving the opposition ammunition. You know, we can, like, shoot ourselves in the foot so many times. And for the kickoff, yeah, again, you know, it's not a great ball, and it's a difficult ball. It comes off up in the air, and, you know, the guy goes through and has a strike, and you're going, what the hell's happened there? You know, you're really, really playing well in the game, and it obviously rocks us a little bit, but the guy steadied, And we got back in the game. Cam scored a great goal. You know, he scored a great goal. We're back in, so we're level at half time. We didn't think we did an awful lot wrong. You know, we, as I say, we had about 9 corner kicks in the first half. We need to get people on the end of them. And of course, in the second half, that's what ended up happening. We did, you know. Our dominance in the second half paid off. Our dominance in the opening 20 minutes and then getting it back leading up to half time. And then, you know, the substitutions as well. The substitutions, it's a squad game. It's a team, you know, the whole team, everyone's involved. And from a manager's point of view, yeah, you want players to work their socks off for an hour. If they've done what they've done and somebody goes on and you get fresh legs, then that's exactly how it should be. That, for me, that's how it should be. And that's how it turned out, you know. Romano goes on, he's got pace, you know, and he's it's a great finish. You know, it's a good ball in again and great finish. So Callum's involved again. And then Hendo, the other sub, comes on, scores with a header. It's a good ball in. Very, very simple from our point of view. And then Callum breaks away and gets his second goal. And he's got a couple of assists as well in there, I think. You know, so absolutely delighted. Sets us up very, very nicely going into the Dunfermline game on the 2nd of January. It's very good for the players. You know, because we don't play now to the 2nd of January, it's very unusual in football. You know, normally you're playing Boxing Day and normally you're in Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then got a game on Boxing Day. So it's very unusual, but it's actually also very good that the guys can now can get a couple of days, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, you know, with their families. So it's a great opportunity for that. We go there in high spirits, you know, type of thing, and then back in Boxing Day, and then we're starting getting ready for the Dunfermline game. So delighted with the 5 goals. You know, we have to stop giving the opposition, encouragement, which we kind of did by losing the ball in bad areas. You know, so there's still room for improvement, but we're delighted with the overall performance.
Delighted with the overall performance, pretty much echoing what you guys have said as well. John, talking about shooting ourselves in the foot, which seems to be the big thing for Falkirk this year, and you probably saw that from the goals we conceded. How do we stop that? It's a mentality thing, isn't it, Ross?
It is a mentality thing, but it's also a personnel thing as well, John. So I think McGlynn's probably done as much as he can with putting his philosophy and stuff, and I think in the most he's got what he was hoping to get out of this group of players. But I think if we are to kick on, he just needs a few better players in there, and which might take time. It might take the summer window. Hopefully we can do a wee bit of manoeuvring this month, but I think it's personnel as well as anything else.
Yeah, capless John there in his interview. Someone's got my big jacket now, and John McGlynn likes a big hand flap. You heard so many times his hand flapping up and down against that jacket. I think you look at the, you know, he talked about in the first fast performance, just some silly things that we did as a team. You know, we talked about the 2 goals, but I mean, goals are always preventable, but you know, it's shooting ourselves in the foot is certainly, I think, something that we've done all season.
We need to be tight on the second, though, John, because I know I said this at the beginning before Craig was on, but if we are not tight, we will lose on the second, and if we lose, we can kiss winning any talk of winning this league out the way, because you can't go there and defend silly and not be tight. We need to take our chances when we get them and try and reduce this gap down to 4 points. And as we said earlier, if we get a couple of bodies in January, hopefully it kind of kicks on. They're not going to go through all season. No, they're going to have a spell at some point where they lose a couple of games.
Well, not so far.
No, they've not so far. And it just shows you when you think they're losing at Kelty, which I anticipated them dropping points, and they almost did, but then they won it. And that's obviously a brilliant sign for them. But we need to just do our own thing, and hopefully they'll drop points at some point.
Yeah, well, let's see what the supporters are saying in terms of what's happened there against Queen of the South. Grant says, started well but lost 2 goals, which were avoidable. PJ, I think, thought the free kick was going wide or over the bar and just stood off for a second. Much better second half and could have scored more. Would keep Henderson in midfield and start Burrow against the Fifers.
Indeed. Another Grant said, second half was a good showing. First, an embarrassment. Again, it may not suit certain agendas, but Morrison was different class the second half. His second goal was something else. Here.
It's an agenda against Morrison. I've not heard that.
I don't know if there's an agenda, John. We've obviously been critical of him at points, so I don't know if that's what Grant's maybe talking about. But then he's a frustrating player because when it works, it really works. And when it doesn't, he's just anonymous. So
how was Aidan Nesbitt? Quentin Kuhn said, we've not mentioned Aidan Nesbitt yet. Craig's sitting with a smile on his face. Go for it, Craig. What did you make of Aidan Nesbitt? What have you made of him this season?
Flatters to deceive. I think, I don't know, he can run and he seems to find really good positions, but he's so lightweight. And teams like your Dunfermline just steamroller us because of players like him. I think that Hibs game, the League Cup game, that was his probably best game for me. Cracking header, supporting the striker, getting forward. But I think it was like last year when we signed him, he started the season really well. Went to Kilmarnock and he had a really good game, and you heard Tommy Wright at the time saying he was our best player, blah, blah, blah. And then he fell off a cliff for the rest of the season. I actually felt Morrison just on that person's comments. I thought Morrison had a terrible first half until he scored. He gave the ball away for the free kick and done nothing until he equalised on 45th minute. And then second half, he's how he can be, different class.
Yep.
So just inconsistent, I think, the two of them, 100%, which you guys have said all season.
Yeah. Right, Homer goes on top in front, and then we utterly fall apart in the first half. Afraid PJ Morrison doesn't inspire confidence, looked very shaky. Second half, we went at them, but needed Burrell and Henderson subs to really land it. I think Henderson looked much better in midfield, adding height. I mean, it's the one thing, you know, we've talked about, and when we spoke to John McGowan on this podcast, was how the modern game, it's pretty much anyone above 6 foot, anyone below 6 foot in the modern game seems to be John McGowan's, preference of having that big physical team. Certainly with Liam Henderson in midfield, certainly at set pieces as well, it offers you another threat. If you're bringing in someone like, you know, we know Brad McKay, he's good at set pieces, but you know if you have that at your centre, your big centre half, McCann aside, you know, if you had that along your back line, then Liam Henderson in midfield, like from set pieces, it just brings so much threat. So I guess that's another plus of putting Liam Henderson in that midfield, Ross.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's much needed. As you say, a bit of height, a bit of physicality, because he does get stuck in. I think when he played there against Dundee in the first cup game of the season, he was just back from his injury, and I don't think he was really in a position to kind of do what we needed him to do. Plus, I think McGinn might have been missing that night as well. So hopefully the two of them will be on top form on the second, which would be amazing. Cal Wilson says, fantastic by the lads. Lost two silly goals. Played much better than Queens in the second half. Formation changed the game in favour for us. And Henderson looks better in the midfield. Hopefully, by this episode, Kelty have beat Dunfermline. And the way we played, we could give Dunfermline a doing. Well, that the first part didn't happen, but hopefully the second part definitely does.
Absolutely. Peter said, did what was required. Solid first 20 minutes. Got the goal. And then God only knows what happened. Thought our keeper was at fault for Queen's second goal. And pretty dodgy all around. Important goal just before half-time. Then decent second half. Need to keep winning. Come on, you Bairns.
Indeed. David says, not sure where the hate is coming from for PJ. He got beat by a worldy free kick and a class finish in the corner. Both started with our midfield being soft as shite, giving the ball away. My only criticism is his distribution could be faster. In my opinion, he's a decent keeper. I actually don't think he's... I agree. I think he is a decent keeper. The goals... They were two good goals on Friday night. I think we've seen previously from he's got his good bits, he's got his bad bits. Distribution, probably he's right. Distribution could be a bit better.
At this level, though, in the league we're playing and what we can attract, I mean, you're not going to have a Kasper Schmeichel or a Tim Crew or a Danny Mallow or any of the brilliant keepers we've had in the past. You know, you are going to end up with young keepers who are still learning their trade or keepers who have been doing the rounds and will have inevitably their faults, whether it be distribution, whether it be coming for crosses. You know, that's the level we're at, I guess, and we've just got to realise that. Boney UKNS 227 and catch your name. Too many bomb scares at the back. What does McGlynn see in Brad Mackay? We really toil to build anything on the right as we don't have a natural right back. Morrison gets a flack on the right, but he doesn't have a natural like McCann provide like on the left like Kennedy does. Again, let's see if that changes come January. You know, with Williamson, God knows what's happening. But hopefully, like we said at the start, please, please give us a right back, Santa.
Indeed, indeed. Stephen says, thought we were going to royally fuck it up again, but happy to be proved wrong. Great second half and some good goals. Hopefully we can take that into the next game.
We do have Henderson in midfield. That's just lovely. I like that. More of that, please, Mr. McGlynn. May I suggest at the expense of Mr. Oliver? I think we'll take that. Yeah, absolutely.
John said, you could feel the hangover from the last few seasons when we went down 2-1. The crowd started to get on the players' back and booing every stray pass or mistake. But fair play to the players. They turned it round. We were by far the better team apart from 20 minutes after they had scored.
What was it like in that South Stand, Craig, when we kind of went 2-1 down? Did you feel a change in the crowd?
Yeah, that person was right. You could feel it was a bit like last season or the year before. People got on their back. I think it because it just happened so quickly and so out of the blue. But I feel like with McGlynn, there seems to be a mentality change. So like maybe last season, we wouldn't have came back for 2-1 down. We might have got a draw, but we wouldn't have won the game. Yeah. Whereas that totally switched. They don't feel like they're beaten if they go behind. At least they don't give up.
Yeah.
Which, but yeah, there was a few boos, a few shouts until that equaliser came.
Yeah. Lewis finishes off, deserved the win, delighted for Henderson and the impact he made. Two great goals conceded. But worryingly at how easily they cut through the team at times. Focus on the positives, hopefully some fresh investment to come in January to give us a boost for the second half of the season. Right, Falkirk Daft rated then. Who is getting it from the Queen of the South game, boys?
Craig, you're up first, bud.
I would have gave it to Allegra if the game was 60 minutes, but I think after what Morrison did the second half, it's hard to... It's hard to go against him because I heard him get man of the match on Friday. Mm-hmm. But you could also argue John McGlynn for that change of Henderson in midfield because ultimately for me it won the game. So either of the three would have been my pick.
Ross?
Fair shout. Yeah, I'm going to go Morrison as well. He obviously scored a couple. He set at least one up. I think he set Burrell up as well, didn't he? So Callum Morrison, well deserved. I actually they must have picked him before he scored the second one as well, because they literally announced the man of the match almost just as he scored. So fair play to him for that one.
Any Falkirk dafties from that performance? Craig.
Take your pick between Oliver, who's like Burton O'Brien Mark II, or Aidan Nesbitt for me, because Nesbitt again proved he was lightweight. He gave the ball away for the second goal. He wasn't strong enough to hold the ball up. He got tackled, lost the ball, and it led to the second goal. So I would say for leading a goal, I would tip for Nesbitt.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go Oliver. We talked about Craig winning a spot in the team photo on eBay. Gary Oliver looked like he'd won a start. Up to that, and then. He was absolutely rank rotten. So I'm gonna go Gary Oliver.
Fair enough. Oliver gets it then. Craig, do you want to hi about? We've not got a big question this week, so hi about. We're going to preview the Dunfermline match just in a minute. But if you want to come on the show like Craig has done, drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or email us at falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. We'd love to have you on for the Dunfermline match to look at back at that. But yeah, if you want to be a guest pundit like Craig has been today, join us on the next show.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So let's look at that big game at East End come the 2nd of January. Ross, you're going to be missing it. You're away on holiday over abroad, so you'll be watching on a where are you going to watch it then?
I don't know. It'll really depend on where I am at the time. I'm over in Disneyland Paris for New Year. So I'll be able to watch a Mickey Mouse outfit in Dunfermline as well as a
Mickey's. Hey, there you go.
The old ones are the best, but wherever I am, I'll definitely have it on, probably much to the annoyance of my wife and two kids.
Of course, you'd sit out in Gaston's pub or something like that in Disney World, sit and watch the Dunfermline Falcon. Let them, it's Disney World, let them go and do their thing, and you just find somewhere, set yourself up, and find yourself a wee beer or a wee glass of wine when you're in France, you know, and sit and watch it. Craig, are you going yourself?
Yeah, I'll be there. Take my nephew to every game, so we'll be there.
Fantastic. I'll definitely be there in some way, shape or form. I think I might be on the Roman Bar bus. I don't know. I've still to make arrangements for that, but I'll be there.
So John, you're gonna be drunk then.
Yes, I will be. More than likely. But yeah, 2nd of January, obviously you got the old from before it, and then it's all the derbies that day, Hibs Hearts as well. Yeah, it's looking at the table, and as Ross has said, it's do or die, really, isn't it? I mean, we are currently 7 points off Dunfermline. You know, you saw the result against Kelty, you thought, oh, Kelty went 1-0, and then went 1-1, and then Dunfermline again. They just have a way, and this is what frightens me, is just to have that mark of champions, of just finding ways of getting 3 points come hell or high water. What have you made of Dunfermline this season, Craig, when you've seen them?
We should have beat them at East End. Obviously, a bit of a daft decision from Henderson for the penalty. Although, with the chances we had, we should have had the game wrapped up anyway. The game at the stadium, we got a lot of stick that day, and rightly so, but they were just as bad. They had a set piece which we switch off for. I think they'll play the same way, because I think a draw suits them to keep the gap at 7. So I think they'll play the exact same way and let us come on to them and then hit us on the counter or hit us on a set piece. So we need to now be aware of that, because they didn't really play like that the first game, I felt. I felt both teams tried to play a little bit of football.
Yeah.
They're also a bit direct with Todorov up front. Their midfield, it's all players that maybe don't have a lot of technical ability, Mokrey aside. They seem to be quite hard journeymen, if you like, that know how to grind out results.
Yeah. You look at the table, like you say, Craig, 7 points, just with the 7 points gap. I mean, Edinburgh are closer to them with, you know, 4. You know, sitting in and getting a draw, it's not the worst result for them, is it? Because, you know, if they could sit in and, you know, we all think Edinburgh will eventually fall away. Though in saying that, we're halfway through the season now and they're still sitting there in second place, you know? But, yeah, a draw will suit them. Ross, do you think they'll come at Falkirk or, like, in the first game, or do you think it'll be, like Craig says, like very much that game at the stadium?
I think they'll sit in and try, and they'll do exactly what they did at our place. They'll sit in, they'll be really, really tight, really, really organised, and they'll try and get a goal from somewhere. If they do, then obviously we're going to need to try and get another couple back. But if we score first, this might put them on a bit of an edge, because, and this might sound odd because we are behind them just now, but I genuinely think they think we're a better football team and we will outplay them. I personally think it. The table doesn't lie, though, but I think they, in some respects, they think we're a better, they think we're better than them. At playing football, and I think we've shown that in a lot of the times we've played against them, we've just not been clinical. So on the second, we need to be clinical. We need to do what we can do, and get the job done. That's all we need to do. And I know it sounds really easy just saying it like that, but anything less than 3 points would be
done. It needs to be 3 points. You're in agreement that league's done if we don't get 3 points, Ross.
In terms of winning the league,
yeah,
it would be done if they go to 10 points, because I don't think they'll lose enough games between now and the end of the season. And also, you couldn't really see us winning every single game as well.
If it's a draw, 8 points.
Seven points.
Sorry, it's still 7 points.
Yeah. We obviously still need to play them, but it's out with our hands. So I think a draw is not that great. I think it's got to be a win.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the form, you know, they are the form team. in the league, alongside Airdrie, surprisingly, as well. You know, that's two out of the last six, 4 wins, 2 draws. I mean, since we last played them, we've dropped the same amount of points as they have. They've dropped 4 points, as have we, which is really, that's the sad thing about it, you know, when you look at it, you know, because we could have been going into that game at East End if we hadn't dropped against Airdrie, if we hadn't dropped against Clyde's. And I know it's what's ifs and maybes, but when you look at, you know, them dropping against Queens and dropping against Clyde as well, and certainly in those two games against Clyde and Airdrie, where we should have probably have won the game, it's just really disappointing to be going in.
Massively.
So yeah, players for them, Craig, who have you been impressed with from Dunfermline?
I can't really remember the first game, but the second game, I think the guy Edwards, I think he played left back.
Yeah.
He was good against Morrison. Chalmers, when he was at us, was pretty poor, but he seemed to have a really good game in midfield. He's kicked on. Mockery's a handful. That is maybe it. I don't think they've got many great players. They've maybe got good players, but I don't think they've got great players. The goalkeeper, I think, is a bit dodgy, but we've not really tested him in the two games. So yeah, probably the three would be my three.
I completely forgot Joe Chalmers was at us. You know that? I completely forgot about that. He certainly, I've been impressed with Joe Chalmers in midfield. I don't know if Dunfermline supporters are that keen on him, but he's certainly got, he's the top in terms of assists. He's got 5 assists for the season. One that's just really done well for them is Todorov. Now, we spoke to our friends over at Dunfermline, and they say, you know, he's just got this way of just sneaking at the back post, and just he's always there round about the back post area just to tap it in. 7 goals for the season for Todorov. Does that surprise you, Ross?
It does a little bit, because his movement was always never, for us, he was certainly never in the right place at the right time. So it is a little bit of a shock. His movement's good. He works hard, which, to be fair, sounds like Dunfermline's ethos this year is just to work hard and keep going. They're certainly doing that. I do think if we watch him and we mark him out of the game and do everything we can to stop him, then we'll keep him quiet, because he isn't brilliant, but he is effective at this season anyway, at what he's doing.
Yeah, he certainly seems to be anyway. I mean, what do you say about Dunfermline? I mean, like we've said before and said so many times, they are just, they've got that, they're not playing great football. The supporters acknowledge that, you know, but they have this winning mentality, which is, you know, when you look at it, I mean, you'd rather be in Dunfermline's position. I know we're playing probably the better football, but when you're top of the league, 7 points clear of us, you know, 4 points clear of Edinburgh, you know, you would rather be in the position that they are and playing the football they are if it meant you won the league. Is that's yeah, harsh to say, is it?
I don't know if it's harsh. It's the reality is we definitely would rather be 7 points clear of Dunfermline in that respect. But there is still a chunk of time to go. It's not as if we're down in the last quarter and there's still a big gap. There's a lot of football to be played. We could strengthen, they could strengthen, I suppose, as well. But I've just,
they probably have more, I mean, in terms of money and financials, they, you know, with their investors, they probably got better waves of you know, more money to strengthen in January, which is a worry as well.
I don't know enough about their financials, to be honest, John, so they might have a bit of money behind them, but they've obviously got their tails up, winning in the last minute or deep in injury time on Saturday. The fans will be well up. Their fans would have been well up for this anyway, but they even more so because they've kept that winning run going. There'll be a massive crowd there on the second. I think we'll take minimum 1,500 through, maybe more. The home crowd will probably be up for it as well. So all in all, it's probably going to be a massive day again.
Yeah. Dunfermline favourites to win the game, not a surprise. 17-20. The draw is 13-5. Is Falkirk are as well. 13-5 for an away win. What do you think, Craig? What do you think in terms of score? What's it going to be?
I think we need to score first. I said that in the stadium, the way they played the second time against us. I think I thought if we score first, they'll need to change the way they're playing. They'll need to come out, attack us. We'll get them on the counter. So I think we need to score first, and if we do, I think we'll win. If they score first, the style that they play, it's very hard to break down. So I think that first goal, I know we always say it, but the first goal is definitely crucial. If we get it, we win. If we don't, I don't think we will.
Ross?
I'm going to go 2-1, Bairns. I think they'll score at some point. As Craig says, hopefully it's not first. But I think they will score at some point. They're at home. They'll be shooting towards that home end, second half probably. And you always fear that goal's going to come. And hopefully it's a consolation, though. But I think we'll score a couple of goals. We are in good scoring form. Even if you think about the games where we've dropped points, we've still scored a few goals, and I think we'll do so again. What about you, John? What's your thinking?
I'm always the pessimist in this podcast. You're always the optimist. I honestly think it'll be a draw. I think both teams will see it out to a draw. But you know, more than likely a 0-0. Because that's how it was going at the stadium. If they come and they play, and we find it really... The only way I can see it is James McPake has clearly worked out what we're all about, judging on what the game... If McGlynn is bold enough and brave enough to switch it up and maybe go two up top, maybe make a wee change in tactics, maybe there's a way around that. Do you know what I mean? If we turn up and we've worked in stuff on training this week and we've decided, right, we're going to go 3-5-2 or whatever and just change it up, maybe we can surprise them. But if we go in play to the system that, you know, it's just like Craig said, it's so hard to break down. It's so hard to break down. If they want to just sit in it and take the draw or try and sneak one with, you know, Kyle Benedict's penalty or whatever. So I'm be slightly pessimistic, and I think I'll end the draw, but I really would love it. I'd fucking love it. I'd do a big Kevin Keegan. I'd love it if we went there and pumped them.
Come on.
I would love it if we went there and pumped them, but I think it's going to be really hard. It's really hard. They're a really hard team to play against, as they've shown us this season and have shown the rest of the league this season. So I think it's going to be a draw. We'll find out. Fingers crossed I'm wrong. Listen, Craig, thank you so much for staying on that wee bit extra and previewing the game with us. Fingers crossed for East End, Pat. We'll see you down there, pal. And like you say, if you want to be on as a guest pundit on Falkirkdaft, love to have you on. Drop us an email, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com, or drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or email. Enjoy your frosted Falkirkdaft pint glass, Craig.
Thanks again. Thanks for having us, guys. Cheers.
No problem. I'll have a good new year when it comes, pal.
Used to.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So that's just the last Falkirk Daft of 2022. Thank you very much for listening. But we thought it would be just a nice way to go out and just remembering some of the Bairns that aren't with us today and some of the Bairns that have tragically passed away in 2022 and just acknowledge them and their commitment to the club and their support for the club. So Ross has got a list of some of fellow supporters that we've lost, unfortunately, in 2022.
Yeah, and John, just to say, I'm sure there's probably a few more Bairns who have unfortunately passed on in 2022 who maybe haven't seen our sort of social media request for those names, but we'll go through those who have been sent on us, and thank you to everybody that did do that. So in remembrance for 2022, we have Mr. Gordon McFarlane, in memory of Alan McNee, in memory of Andy McNee. We've got George Johnston. We've got John Manson. In memory of Guy Gabe Gibson, Jimmy McLeod, Billy McLeod, Doogie Stewart, James Johnston, Jim Patterson, Fred Mann, Robert Stirling Sr., Ewan Anderson, in memory of Jason Popeye Daisley, Alan Keddy, in memory of Vinnie Keddy, and last but not least, Kevin Riley, aka Millwall Kev, a Lion and a Bairn.
thoughts and prayers with family at this time of year. This is the toughest time of the year for anyone that's lost someone. So thoughts and prayers to Falkirk Daft with you guys. And hopefully we can, in 2023, on the 2nd of January, we can give 3 points to all these guys in memory of all these guys that have sadly lost their lives this year. But that is it from Falkirk Daft for 2022. As we talked about last year, what a year it's been as a Falkirk supporter. Highs and lows as ever, but we wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. Thanks for all your support over the last 6 months since the launch of the podcast. Ross did the calculations earlier. I think there's 40,000 people who have viewed and listened to it now. So really, really appreciate your support. And hopefully we're 2023 is going to be bigger for the podcast, Ross, and hopefully we'll be talking about the championship in 2023 as well.
That would be nice. That would be a nice present.
It would be nice in 2023. This time, 2023, we're talking about championship games and not League One. That would be the best present ever. Thank you very much for watching, rating. You can still do that on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Falkirk Daft. You can subscribe to our channel, like and subscribe on YouTube as well. Thank you very much to Drummond Laurie, who have been sponsoring this week's show. Remember, they're an independent firm of experienced accountants and business advisors. If you need an accountant in the Falkirk area, they're big supporters of the local community, as we said, supporting the club, supporting things like Strathcan Hospice, Rookie Rockstars. Did a lot of work with the Nurture Room at Denny Primary School as well. So yeah, they put back into the community, and if you are looking for an accountant, head to drummondlaurie.co.uk, and that's Drummond Laurie, and it's Laurie spelled Laurie.co.uk. Guess that all that leaves us to do is say, I hope you have a great new year when it comes. We will see you at East End Park. Well, Ross will be in Disney World watching at Gaston's Pub from there, but I will see you hopefully some of you at East End Park, where hopefully on the next Falkirk Daft we're talking about a big Falkirk win, a 5-0 win at East End Park. But fingers crossed for that. We shall see. That is it. Thanks very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. We'll see you on the next one, and until next time, Ross Wayne.
Yeah, John, happy new year to everybody when it comes. Expect the unexpected and get torn into the fifers. Come on.
On the Bairns!